and welcome to Apple a Day. It's Lake Region Healthcare's health and wellness podcast, where we feature news and information you can use to live a healthier life. I am Katie Johnson, your host, and my guest today is Dr. Katie Bressler. She is a family medicine with obstetrics physician on our women's health team in the Fergus Falls Clinic at Lake Region Healthcare, and she's joining us today to start kind of an ongoing series we're going to do on women's health topics. So, first of all, thanks for joining us, Dr. Bressler.
Thank you, Katie. Happy to be here.
The topic of women's health is so broad, mm-hmm. but we've picked out a few topics we want to cover over the next few weeks, and want to start with one that's really pertinent to women who are thinking about getting pregnant sometime in the future, mm-hmm. right? Preconception counseling is our topic today. But before we dive into that topic, let's just remind our listeners who you are and a little bit about your background and your practice.
Sure, yeah. So my name is Dr. Katie Bressler. I am a family medicine physician who does obstetrics. So I'm a primary care physician first, and then I see a lot of the breadth of the lifespan. So I see women who are pregnant, I see their babies, I see their moms and their grandparents. In fact, today I'm doing nursing home rounds as well as on OB call. So do a little bit of everything.
That's got to be extremely rewarding to cover the lifespan like that. And tell us a little bit about how long you've been at Lake Region Healthcare and what your path looked like before that.
Yeah, so I've been at Lake Region for about a year and a half. I did a medical school rotation here several years ago at this point, and just fell in love with the practice and the people here, and as well as the scope of care for my patients. Mm-hmm. Before that, I was in Boise, Idaho, where I did my obstetrics fellowship, where I did high-risk obstetrics, as well as more like surgical training, things like that, so I can manage pretty much anything that we can deliver here, anybody that we can deliver here in Fergus, I can manage. And then before that, I was in Duluth, Minnesota, doing my residency for family medicine.
Great. So, yeah. Well, thanks for that important context. I know you have a lot of great knowledge on this topic that we're going to discuss today. So let's dive into preconception counseling. How often is this a request of your patients, or how often do you wish it was a request?
Sure. Wish it was a request a lot more. I would say this really falls into the bucket of women of childbearing age who come to see me for their annual physicals. Okay. I always try to ask women, are you planning pregnancy in the next year or two? And though maybe they didn't intend on talking to me about that, I do think that's a part of primary care, because optimizing our health prior to pregnancy is really important for the success of that pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And by success, I mean both for keeping mom and baby healthy.
Sure.
It's most often in the context of physicals, but people do sometimes come in just to kind of talk about getting ready for pregnancy, and those are really fun visits, because then we can really dedicate the full time to just talking about getting ready for pregnancy.
Oh, I'm sure. What a great way to be proactive. Mm-hmm. How would you describe what preconception counseling encompasses?
Sure. It's not unlike just kind of basic primary care. However, there are a few specific things that we want to look out for when we're thinking about kind of preparing for pregnancy. Specifically, there are certain medical conditions that we really want to get optimized prior to getting pregnant. For example, people with hypertension or high blood pressure, there are certain medications that are more preferred in pregnancy. And so often I'll switch people before they get pregnant, so then we don't have to make that switch in early pregnancy, so mm-hmm. they can already be used to the medication, know they don't have side effects, that type mm-hmm. of thing before mm-hmm. they get pregnant. Optimizing diabetes care is really important prior to pregnancy. If a woman has a tendency towards anemia, getting her kind of stocked up on her hemoglobin and mm-hmm. taking iron supplements is important prior to pregnancy, and making sure that we're not missing other kind of medical conditions like thyroid disease. Sleep apnea is another one we really want to optimize prior to pregnancy. And then also just some education. So for instance, a lot of women don't know that taking a prenatal vitamin, specifically the folic acid in the prenatal vitamin, mm-hmm. is one of the most important, it's most important to take that prior to pregnancy. Oh. So stocking up on our folic acid supplement stores, so to speak, before mm-hmm. pregnancy is really important for preventing spina bifida and other neural tube defects.
Wow, I bet there's a lot to cover.
Yeah.
Who is a good candidate? At what stage is this a good conversation to start?
Yeah, I'd say anybody who is planning pregnancy in the future. not a bad idea.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah. The more knowledge you have, no matter mm-hmm. how much in advance,
yeah.
works in your favor, I imagine.
And sometimes it takes a year or two, right, to exactly. kind of get on top of a health condition, et cetera. So.
And I'm guessing it's probably good changes to your health regardless mm-hmm. If you're having that conversation. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the topics. You mentioned a few of them. Mm-hmm. You probably talked about health conditions already that could affect pregnancy and some medications and supplements. What about changes to diet or exercise? Is that yeah. a common topic?
Yes. So, you know, it's really important to kind of have your baseline routine prior to pregnancy. I really like to encourage women who are pregnant in their early and even late pregnancy to continue their routine mm-hmm. through that pregnancy, because it leads to feeling better during the pregnancy. It leads to a healthier mom and a healthier baby. Mm-hmm. We used to put women on quote unquote bed rest right. in the past, and that's really not a term we even use anymore mm-hmm. for the most part. You know, so there are certain conditions where we do activity restrictions, but that is pretty few and far between. And so when women are physically active prior to pregnancy, they can continue that through their pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, later on, we try to mitigate risk of like trauma to the abdomen and things like that. But that being said, it's so important to be physically active prior and during. And then also having those established healthy eating routines prior to pregnancy is also, it'll just make the pregnancy easier mm-hmm. In the long run.
Absolutely. And I would imagine makes recovery.
Absolutely.
Better too.
Yep. And I think women who are active have a more functional labor. So people who are active during their pregnancy tend to have more functional labors, are able to move during their labor, and oftentimes it seems like it progresses well when mm-hmm. people are mm-hmm. physically active.
So a good time to talk about that. What about genetic tests?
Yeah, so genetic testing, really important to cover prior to pregnancy and then again early in pregnancy. So I do screen for any familial genetic disorders such as cystic fibrosis, Tay-Sachs, a litany of them. Mm-hmm. And then we also offer a genetic test that is a little bit newer in obstetrical care, but has become standard of care. And we can offer this both in the preconception time as well as in early pregnancy. It's a once in a lifetime test where we screen the woman for for being a carrier of a genetic disorder. And the specific two disorders that we recommend screening for in everybody is spinal muscular atrophy as well as cystic fibrosis. And this is certainly a very personal decision for each patient. Not everybody would want to know if they're carriers, but if a patient is a carrier, then it's helpful to know if her partner is also a carrier, because then that increases the risk that the baby would be affected by the disease, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and then you'd be able to be proactive about managing
exactly.
that mm-hmm. pregnancy.
And managing the risks of that pregnancy, yeah. like site of delivery, that type of thing.
Absolutely. How about fertility tracking? There's
yes.
there's a lot of new methods mm-hmm. of doing this. What do you usually cover when it comes to that?
Yeah, so I like to start with just the basics. We really need to know what the first day of your menstrual period is and then what your cycle looks like. So I encourage women to either get a pen and paper and just write down when they're having bleeds, and like what the date is, that type of thing. And then we can go into further detail kind of once you get your cycle down and you know how many days your cycle is. Mm-hmm. And so when I say how many days the cycle is, that's from the first day of normal flow to the day before the next period where you have normal flow, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Some women have regular cycles, some women have irregular cycles. And then as you get to know that, then you can kind of start getting in tune with your body about when you're ovulating. Most typically people ovulate on day 14 to 16. Now, not everybody fits into that bucket, and people can ovulate in a more irregular way. And when we have a hard time, and some people can even feel when they're ovulating, sometimes they feel like a little bit of side pain called middle schmerz, or have other symptoms that are kind of associated with ovulation. For other people who don't know when they're ovulating, there's ovulation test strips that you can buy for really cheap from local pharmacies or online.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Are there any ovulation trackers or, you know, there's yeah. a lot of technology mm-hmm. involved today. Any that are either recommended or just really aren't very accurate?
Oh, that's a really good question. So ovulation trackers, like, do you mean like apps?
Yeah.
Or, okay. Yeah. Often the apps are just nice because then it gets all of your detail, your data in kind of a pictorial form. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of the ones that are kind of, if you just search them on your Google App Store, mm-hmm. or the whatnot, as long as there's a calendar on there, and mm-hmm. you can put in when the first day of your period is and put in when you're having symptoms or when your ovulation test strips are put mm-hmm. are positive, that's good enough.
That's all
you don't need to buy a subscription or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Even a Google uh-huh. calendar is okay.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. Any other topics that we haven't talked about that are something you like to kind of dive a little deeper into and let people know when it comes to preconception counseling?
Yeah. I do like to cover vaccines a little bit prior to pregnancy. There are a couple of things that we want to make sure that people are adequately vaccinated for prior to pregnancy, because it can be dangerous to the fetus if you are exposed to that illness during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And that would be rubella, which is through the MMR vaccine, mm-hmm. which is a childhood vaccine. Though some of us are non-responders, about 25% of people, mm-hmm. kind of their immunity wanes. And okay. so giving a booster can be helpful. Mm-hmm. And then varicella or the chicken pox is another one that we really like to make sure that people are immune for. Mm-hmm. If we miss you in the preconception time, we screen you in that early pregnancy time, and then we would give you a booster after pregnancy if we missed it for that pregnancy. And then just the routine vaccines, you know, flu, COVID, if you're eligible, pneumonia, because we do know that those respiratory illnesses can affect women more seriously when they're pregnant.
Sure. Good. Another good way to be proactive for yep. both mom and baby.
Yes.
And then, so obviously, you're doing this planning, preconception planning. What about once you're successful and you find that you are pregnant? What should a woman do?
Yeah, that's a great question and very important. So once you think you might be pregnant, so if you're late in your menstrual cycle or having pregnancy symptoms such as nausea, breast tenderness, fatigue, that type of thing, take a urine pregnancy test. Urine pregnancy tests are extremely accurate. And so that's a great first step. If it's negative, you can always repeat it in a week or two. Mm-hmm. But once you get a positive pregnancy test, we do recommend calling and setting up an obstetric appointment with an obstetric provider. Mm-hmm. And so what you would do is you just call to make an appointment, and then we get you in typically we typically see people in the 7 to 10 week range of gestation. So what that means though is after positive, when you get a positive pregnancy test, you're actually more like 4 weeks pregnant. So you have about a month to 6 weeks to get in to be seen, if okay. that makes sense.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do recommend getting earlier ultrasounds based on medical history, but most typically we aim for the first ultrasound around the 7 to 9 week range and being mm-hmm. seen by a provider shortly thereafter. That being said, if you get a positive pregnancy test and you have any questions, if you're on medications that you're wondering about if they're safe for the pregnancy, that type of thing, come in for a confirmation of pregnancy visit, and we can talk about all of those things before we even get your ultrasound and your labs.
Mm, really good to know those
yeah.
time frames.
Yep. Yeah. The other thing is if you're not getting pregnant, that's another reason to come in and be seen, right? So benchmark is a year of trying for people who are under age 35 and have regular cycles, then you should be seen for fertility issues. Mm-hmm. And then if you have irregular cycles or if you have other conditions that might inhibit or hinder your fertility, then you should be seen sooner. So for instance, people with PCOS or endometriosis, or people who are over the age of 35 should maybe be seen a little bit sooner. I think that we've covered a lot. That's
yeah,
great.
It's been great.
And I think in general, you know, if women are thinking about getting pregnant, they should tell whatever healthcare provider that they have. Any primary care provider should be able to point people in the right direction for getting ready for pregnancy. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have to see your OB provider or your midwife, but anybody in primary care should sure. be able to kind of point you in the right direction. But we're always happy to see people specifically for preconception care as well.
And just a reminder that preconception, forethought and intention mm-hmm. can make such a big impact to both the mom and the baby. So thanks for raising the topic, for all the great information that you've shared today. We look forward to having you back and talking about more women's health topics in the coming weeks.
Thanks, Katie. Looking forward to it.
Dr. Katie Bressler and Katie Johnson on Apple a Day this morning, reminding you at Lake Region Healthcare, we are here for you always. Have a great day.